Chapter 9. Working Less. Takeaway. When you work consistently long hours or spend too much time on tasks, that's usually not a sign that you have too much to do. It's a sign that you're not spending your energy and attention wisely. As one example, during my experiment to work 90-hour work weeks, I found that I accomplished only a bit more than when I worked 20-hour work weeks. Working 90-hour weeks. One of the most exciting parts of my project was that because I spent most of my time reading, researching, conducting interviews and experiments, and writing, technically speaking, I could work 168 hours every week, 24/7, if I really wanted to. My work could expand to accommodate how much or how little time I had for it. Aside from the pressure I put on myself to get a lot done every day, I had total freedom and flexibility for how long I worked, which made productivity experiments like working 90-hour weeks possible. By comparison, for most of my project, I worked an average of 46 hours a week. Before I started AYOP, whenever I had more work to do than I had time to do it in, which was pretty much all the time, I would usually put in longer hours so I could finish my tasks. When you feel like your to-do list is expanding faster than the universe is, working longer hours almost always feels like the best option to getting everything done. On the surface, it makes total sense. The longer you work, the more time you have to do everything in. But in practice, working longer hours means having less time to refocus and recharge, which leads to more stress and lower energy. That's what got me curious, especially as my work quickly began to pile up during my project. Is there a better and smarter way to getting everything done? Or is working longer hours simply the only option? Fortunately, I'd created the perfect test environment to find out. To get to the bottom of the link between the number of hours spent working and productivity, I designed a productivity experiment to test out how my productivity was affected by working both insane hours and relaxed hours. For 4 weeks, I alternated between working 90 hours 1 week and 20 the next to see how working both extreme hours and shorter hours affected how much I got done every day. During the experiment, at the end of each day and week, I asked myself the same 3 questions. 1. How much energy and focus did I have left? 2. How easily was I distracted? And 3. Did I accomplish what I intended to? Every day and week, I also made a list of everything I accomplished so I could compare how my hours affected my productivity. As a science nerd, I have to say that this experiment was anything but scientific, but I quickly began to discover 2 big, surprising lessons from it. 2 huge lessons. After slogging through 1 90-hour week and 1 20-hour week, I quickly discovered something breathtaking when I was looking through my experiment logs. I accomplished only a bit more working 90-hour weeks than I did in my 20-hour weeks. This was easily one of the more surprising findings I made during my project. It went against everything I knew about productivity. I had always assumed that working longer hours gave you more time to accomplish everything you need to get done. On the surface, it made little sense, until I looked beyond how much time I invested in my work, and instead looked at how much energy and attention I invested in it. When I invested more time in my work during my insane weeks, my work became a lot less urgent. On a minute-by-minute basis, I invested less energy and focus into everything I intended to get done. But when I had a limited amount of time in my 20-hour weeks, I forced myself to expend significantly more energy and focus over that shorter period of time so I could get everything done I had to do. Of course, all the pressure I felt during this experiment came from me. I didn't have a boss, team, or any large looming deadlines around the corner. But the lesson is just as potent. By controlling how much time you spend on a task, you control how much energy and attention you spend on it. The second invaluable lesson I discovered from the experiment was that even though on paper I accomplished about the same in both long and short weeks, I felt twice as productive working longer hours. Even though I wasn't spending my attention or energy wisely, I sure as hell felt productive. It's hard not to feel productive when you're busy all day long, but busyness does not translate into productivity if it doesn't lead you to accomplish anything. Before I started my project, when I reflected on how productive I was at the end of each day and each week, I usually made a critical mistake. I looked at how busy I was instead of how much I accomplished. Productivity is an elusive idea. Because it's hard to get a handle on just how much you accomplish every day, looking at how busy you are is a quick, down and dirty, and usually inaccurate shortcut to seeing how productive you are. In the middle of my 20-hour weeks, I couldn't help but feel guilty that I wasn't as busy as I thought I should be. Because I was working a shorter amount of time, I perceived myself as less productive, and I became unnecessarily hard on myself because of it, even though I was spending a ton of energy and focus on what I had to get done, and I was accomplishing about the same amount of work. This is a trap almost all of us fall into. When you have more work to do than you have time to do it in, it's easy to trick yourself into thinking you have only two options: keep working a standard work week and fall behind, or begin putting in more hours to get everything done. But as I discovered during this experiment, there is a third, less obvious option that is much more powerful than spending more time on your work. Learn to invest more energy and attention into your work so you can get the same amount done in a fraction of the time. For important things, spend less time. When I worked 20-hour weeks, something magical began to happen. I forced myself to expend more energy over a shorter period of time so I could get my work done more quickly. When you limit how much time you spend on an important task, three things happen. One, you set an artificial deadline, which motivates you to expend more energy and focus over a shorter period of time. Two, you create urgency around the task because you have a limited amount of time to get it done. And three, you flip some of the task's procrastination triggers because limiting the time you'll spend on a task makes it more structured and less boring, frustrating, and difficult. And when you also work on the task during your prime productive time, that's the sweet spot on the productivity racket. By the way, shrinking how long you'll work on the task is also a great way to warm up to difficult tasks that you're more likely to procrastinate on. For example, on days when I really don't feel like exercising or meditating, I simply shrink how long I'll meditate or exercise for in my head until I no longer feel resistance to it. For example, can I work out for an hour? I feel a lot of resistance to that. 30 minutes? Better, but still too much. What about 20 minutes? Perfect, I'll work out for 20 minutes. Shrinking a task works wonders every time. And the hack is helpful for forming new daily habits, too. Plus, once you get started, chances are you'll want to keep going beyond your original point of resistance. After conducting this experiment, whenever I had an important article to write, speech to prepare, or project to crank out throughout the rest of the project, instead of scheduling an entire afternoon to work on the task, I scheduled just 2 or 3 hours for the task, usually smack dab in the middle of my biological prime time. And whenever I had a good handle on how much time, attention, and energy a task would take, I got it done. With a limited amount of time, I had no other choice. The exact number of hours you should work every week. If limiting how much time you spend on a task lets you get it done more efficiently, does the same rule apply for working fewer hours in general? Intriguingly, several studies suggest that it does. If you were to work just 1 hour a week, no matter how well you managed your energy and attention over that hour, you wouldn't be all that productive. 1 hour of work a week is simply not enough time to accomplish much of anything important. But your productivity also becomes shot when you work for too long. Working 90 hours a week for any longer than 1 week is a recipe for burnout. Doing so leaves you with hardly any time to recharge your energy levels and focus. Just as you can work too few hours, you can simply work too much. So where is the sweet spot for how many hours you should work every week? Over the course of my project, I settled into a nice equilibrium of working 46 hours a week, which was enough time for me to get everything done while taking needed breaks to recharge my energy levels and attention over the course of the day. But studies show that the ideal number of hours to work every week is even lower than that. They suggest that the optimal number is roughly 35 to 40 hours. On the surface, 35 to 40 hours seems low. When your to-do list is always longer than the number of hours you have in the day, you might feel guilty if you begin to work 40 hours a week, especially if the people around you continue to work 50, 60, or even more. But studies suggest that after roughly 35 or 40 hours, your productivity begins to plummet. In the short term, there are huge productivity gains to be had by working extra hours, particularly when deadlines are fast approaching. Sometimes there is simply a ton of work to do, and you need to dedicate more time to do that work. But in the long term, working longer hours is a recipe for disaster, especially when they lead you to have less time to cultivate your attention and energy, as I'll discuss in the next chapters. After 35 to 40 hours of work, studies show that your marginal productivity begins to drop until, quote, at approximately 8 60-hour weeks, the total work done is the same as what would have been done in 8 40-hour weeks, end quote. The same study found that with 70 and 80-hour weeks, you reach the same break-even point in just 3 weeks. In working 90 hours a week, I stumbled upon that break-even point in just 2 weeks, even though the 2 weeks were separated by a luxurious 20-hour week. But often, even in the short term, working longer hours can decrease your productivity. One study found that when you work 60-hour weeks, in order to accomplish one more hour of work, you need to work 2 hours of overtime. Yet another study found that your productivity, quote, falls off a cliff after 55 hours, so much so that someone who puts in 70 hours produces nothing more with those extra 15 hours, end quote. Beyond a certain point, you simply begin to do more busy work than important or meaningful work. You'll feel a lot less guilty, like I did when working 90 hours a week, but you'll also be a lot less productive. In the time economy, when work required a lot less energy and attention, there was a direct correlation between how many hours you worked and how much you produced. Working insane hours would have made you much more productive. Today, though, the equation has changed. Since your time, attention, and energy all contribute to your productivity, working long hours can destroy your productivity because doing so compromises your energy and focus. In the knowledge economy, the most productive people don't only manage their time well. They also manage their energy and attention well. Limiting how much time you spend on your work, whether on an important task or on your work in general, is a great way to spend your time, attention, and energy wisely. Depending on how much control you have over when you work, setting limits for how long you work in general, even reasonable limits like working for 35 hours, may not be realistic. But whenever possible, it's worth setting limits for how long you work, so you spend more energy on what you have to get done, not more valuable time. The Shrink Your Work Challenge. Time required, 1 minute. Energy and focus required, 4 out of 10. Value, 8 out of 10. Fun, 8.5 out of 10. What you'll get out of it. You'll learn to expend more energy and attention on your work to get things done in a fraction of the time. The challenge for this chapter is simple. Tomorrow, limit how much time you'll spend on an important task and stick to that limit. My favorite way to limit how much time I spend on something is to simply set a countdown timer on my phone for half of the amount of time I think a task will take. If I think I need 4 hours to crank out an important presentation, I'll schedule just 2 during my biological prime time if I can. This tactic won't work for every single item on your task list, but it works wonders on tasks that are important and that have a deadline that's fast approaching. Once you start limiting how much time you'll spend on specific tasks, my bet is that you'll also begin to limit how long you work in general. Consistently working for more than 35 or 40 hours a week makes you less productive over time because it leads you to make more mistakes and poorer decisions, both of which can take a lot of time to fix. It also causes you to miss new ideas, opportunities, shortcuts, and opportunities to work smarter instead of just harder. When you work consistently long hours or spend too much time on tasks, that's usually not a sign that you have too much to do. It's a sign that you're not spending your energy and attention wisely.